Our Old Testament reading this morning will come from the Book of Lamentations, we'll be reading from chapter 1 of the Book of Lamentations. It is a book that tradition says was written by the prophet Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is called the grieving prophet, and Lamentations is about grief. But we'll be reading that this morning. It is found on page 706 of your pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. Oh, how lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow has she become, she that was great among the nations, she that was a princess among the cities, has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night, tears on her cheeks among all her lovers. She has none to comfort her. All her friends have dwelt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile because of affliction and hard servitude. She dwells now among the nations, but finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for none come to the appointed feast. All her gates are desolate, her priest groan. Her maidens have been dragged away, and she herself suffers bitterly. Her foes have become the head, her enemies prosper because the Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away captives before the foe. From the daughter of Zion has departed all her majesty. Her princes have become like harts that find no pasture. They fled without strength before the pursuer. Our epistle reading this morning will come from 2 Timothy. We'll be reading from chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verses 1 through 14. And it is found on page 1038 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience as did my fathers, when I remember you constantly in my prayers. As I remember your tears, I long night and day to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you. Hence, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Do not be ashamed, then, of testifying to our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel in the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not in virtue of our works, but in virtue of his own purpose and the grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus ages ago, and now has manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, and therefore I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day that has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard the truth, that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. Luke 17, we'll be reading from verses 5 through 10, and it is found on page 910 of your pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, 'Be rooted up and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him, when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and gird yourself and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterward you shall eat and drink'? Does he think the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that is commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty.'" This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Lord, increase our faith. If you're like me, this simple request on the part of the Lord's disciples is one that resonates powerfully with you, if only because you have prayed it a time or two yourselves. Maybe you prayed it when you were afraid. Maybe you prayed it when you were doubtful. Maybe you prayed it when you were uncertain. But if you prayed it, you prayed it because you looked deep down inside of yourself and you said, "If I only had more faith. Lord, increase my faith." It's an understandable request. We Americans tend to believe that the answer to all of our problems is to have more. If we just had more money, if we just had more time, if we just had more people, if we just had more education, if we just had more, and we bring that same thinking to faith, if we just had more faith. Think of all the wonderful things we could do, all the wonderful things we could accomplish for God if we just had more faith. Lord, increase our faith. Occasionally, I'll talk to someone who is undergoing what is often called today a crisis of faith. Usually has to do with something that they believe. Sometimes they can no longer believe what they used to believe, the things they may have been taught as a child. And they will say that they have a crisis of faith. But 9 times out of 10, it's because that people reach a point where something has happened. Something tragic, something disruptive, something disorienting, something that they believe God should have stopped, but God didn't. And so they come to the conclusion that something is either wrong with God or their understanding of God, or something is wrong with them. Perhaps they just don't have enough faith. And so they say, "Lord, increase my faith. If only I had enough faith, it wouldn't have happened. If only I had enough faith, I wouldn't have gotten sick. If only I had enough faith, she wouldn't have left. If only I had enough faith, Lord, increase my faith. If I had more faith than you, I could be a better Christian, a better husband, a better wife, a better churchgoer, a better giver. Increase my faith. I suspect all of us feel a bit deficient from time to time when it comes to faith. It's easy for us to think that the solution to our problem sometimes is just more faith. I suspect that the disciples in our text this morning were feeling pretty deficient. Jesus, after all, has just been giving them some very hard teachings. He's told them that to be one of his followers, they must be constantly about looking after other people, especially those who are the most vulnerable. They are to be on the watch out for those who are the outcast, for those who are broken, for those who often escape the notice and the attention of others. And right before our passage, Jesus gives another hard saying about forgiveness. If someone sins against you, he tells them, rebuke them, and if they repent, then forgive them. And then he tells them, if someone sins against you 7 times in the same day and they repent, then you are to forgive them. And I can just imagine the disciples hearing what Jesus was saying and saying to themselves, you know, we can't do that. That's beyond our capability. There's no way that we can forgive. Maybe I can forgive if someone does something to me just once, and if it's not bad enough, maybe eventually I'll be able to put it behind me and I'll be able to forgive. But that's something that we just find hard to do. Something that is beyond our human capabilities is to forgive, not to mention keep forgiving. We can't do that. Lord, if we're going to be able to do that, we're going to have supernatural power. You're going to have to increase our faith. So, Lord, please do that. Increase our faith so that we can be the kind of people that you want us to be. It's an admirable request. You would think that Jesus would be delighted that his followers were asking, out of all things, for more faith. But Jesus essentially tells them no. No, you don't need more. You don't need more faith. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to move mountains. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to uproot trees. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, just a little bit of faith, you would be able to do great things. But that's not your problem. You don't need more faith. You just need to use the faith that you have. Jesus, of course, is engaging in a little bit of hyperbole, but he's making a point that faith is not something that can be quantified. It's not something that can be packaged and distributed. It's not something that we can get more of or less of. Faith is something that all of us already have, and we just need to exercise the faith that we have. Exercising that faith, of course, is sometimes difficult. You know, I went to a gym once, and I remember watching people there, and they were doing remarkable things. You know, they had this woman, and she was running. You know, she had to be running for almost 2 hours. I think she told me one time that she had ran 8 miles that day. And they had a guy who was there, and he was, you know, lifting, you know, these weights, a great deal of amount of weight, and he was doing all of these wonderful things. And as I was watching people doing their exercises, I was thinking to myself, boy, I could never do that. I could never do what they were doing. And you know what? That's true. Not that I didn't have the ability to do it. I had the same things that they had, the same muscles that they had. Mine was a bit flabby, but I had the same things that they had. But if I never ventured forward to exercise those muscles, then I would never be able to develop those muscles so that they could do what some of the remarkable people in that gym were doing. And the same thing is with faith. We don't need more faith. We just need to exercise and develop the faith that we have. And the more that we do that, the more we find that our faith muscles become more developed, enabling us to live in ways that we might not have thought possible. We have certain misconceptions, of course, about faith. Sometimes we believe that faith is simply about believing something. In a few moments, we will say what we believe. We'll say the Apostles' Creed, what we believe about God, what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ, what we believe about the Holy Spirit, what we even believe about the church, and all of these things are true, but faith is more than just believing. Sometimes we believe faith is simply believing something strongly enough and with enough emotion. If I just believe strongly enough in what God says, or if I just believe strongly enough in Jesus, then I won't have any problems. Everything will be okay. But faith is not about not having any problems. Faith is not about being able to change the things around us so much as it is something that changes us so that we are able to live as the people that God has called us to be. Faith is about faithfulness. It is about obedience. It's about taking Jesus seriously enough to follow him. Taking Jesus seriously enough that we are willing to live the way that he wants us to live. That we are willing to be the loving, compassionate, forgiving, reconciling people that he has called all of us to be. One of the stories that caught my attention this week on my news feed was a story that's been in the news for the better part of a year, but reached its conclusion last week. The story of Botham Jean, young man who was shot to death in his own apartment, sitting on his couch eating a bowl of ice cream. He was shot, of course, by one of his neighbors who entered into the wrong apartment and thought that she was encountering an intruder in her apartment and ended up shooting young Botham Jean there in his own apartment. Of course, it had all the trappings of a salacious American drama. She was a woman and he was a man. She was white and he was black. She was a police officer. He was a young man. All the kind of things that tantalize our senses and our imagination in our country. This week was the trial. Everyone was wondering whether she would be convicted, and she was convicted of killing a young man. Everyone wondered what the sentence would be, and she received 10 years. But the highlight of the week was when the victim's brother, young Brant Jean, asked if he could hug the person who killed his brother. And this 18-year-old young man came off of the podium and he hugged his brother's killer and he said, "I forgive you." That act of forgiveness caused a great deal of debate among my Facebook friends, especially those within the church. Some of it questioned that, called it easy forgiveness. We ought to be very careful about easy forgiveness. It caused a great deal of debate, especially among many of my African-American Christian friends, because they thought that sometimes, you know, it seems that we're too easy to forgive African-Americans. But it stimulated a great deal of debate about what Christian forgiveness is all about. Should we so readily forgive? And yet I appreciated what young Brant Jean did. This young man who took Jesus seriously enough, who thought that he would emulate what Jesus himself had done, what Jesus himself had come to do, who thought he would emulate what God's self is all about and forgive. Forgive someone who had deeply wounded him. Forgive someone who had deeply hurt him. Forgive someone who had took the life of his brother. And I remember when I first heard it, thinking to myself, I could never do that. I could never forgive someone who had hurt me in that way. I could never forgive. I don't care what the Bible says. I could never forgive. I don't have it in me. I'm just a sinner in need of the grace of God, a sinner who needs to lean into the grace of God. But I could never do that. If I were going to be able to do it, I would need a supernatural investment from God's own self. Lord, increase my faith. But Jesus says we don't need more faith. We just need to use the faith that we already have. We all do have it. We just need to exercise and use the faith that we have. And when we begin to use the faith that we have, we'll be able to move mountains. We'll be able to do things that we thought we couldn't do before. When we use the faith that we have, we'll be able to bring peace to our nation. When we use the faith that we have, we'll be able to bridge the gaps that exist already in our world. When we're able to use the little bit of faith that we have, we'll find that we're able to forgive people that we didn't think we'd be able to forgive. When we use the faith that we have, we will find that we'll be able to live more like Jesus himself lived. To be a compassionate people, a loving people, a forgiving people, a people who loves God and one another with all of our hearts. The question for us this morning is the question that is always before us. Will we exercise our faith? Will we be obedient and faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will we continue to ask and to request for an easy faith while leaving the world bereft of any witness? You and I are called to be the light of the world. We are one of the last hopes of the world. You and I are called to be the body of Christ in the midst of the world. The world won't know how to live unless they see it in you and me. They won't know how to overcome their differences. Our country won't know how to overcome its differences. We won't know how to overcome our hatred. We won't know how to overcome any of the things which plague us unless they see you and I, people of faith, doing what Jesus called us to do, to love one another and to love God. Let us pray that we continue to exercise the faith that we have been given. For the sake of our communities, for the sake of our country, for the sake of the whole world. Amen.